trust.
Hi, this is Simon Pegg, and you're listening to Celluloid Heroes.
Hello, you are listening to Celluloid Heroes radio show. My name is Jack.
Hello, I'm Ed as well.
And yeah, it's a lovely sunny day here on the 4th of April. No, 4th of May,
4th of May.
2011. Yeah. God, this year's going fast.
Very quickly.
So we've got a rather truncated show today. Not much to get through. A little bit slow in the way of films.
Yeah.
We've got Hannah, Joe Wright's new film. And we've got Cedar Rapids, which you saw.
Yeah.
You also saw Insidious as your forfeit. And there's a right stinker coming out next week as well.
Is there? I haven't looked.
Well, I know definitely where I'm going, should I win. And yeah, a film called Farewell or La Faire Farewell, depending on what side of the channel you grew up on.
Yeah.
And yeah, we'll have lots of film-based music for you and stuff, blah, 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 all the usuals. So we'll start off with a song. This is from Hannah, which I will review on the other side of this track, and it's by David Bowie, and it's called Kooks.
Will you stay in our lover's story? If you stay, you won't be sorry, 'cause we believe in you. Soon you'll grow, so take a chance with a couple of kooks hung up on romancing. Will you stay in our lover's story? If you stay, you won't be sorry, 'cause we believe in you. Soon you'll grow, so take a chance with a couple of kooks hung up on romancing. We bought a lot of things to keep you warm and dry, and a funny old crib on which the paint won't dry. I bought you a pair of shoes, a trumpet you can blow, and a book of rules of what to say to people when they pick on you. 'Cause if you stay with us, you're gonna be pretty cookie too. Will you stay in our lover's story? If you stay, you won't be sorry, 'cause we believe in you. Soon you'll grow, so take a chance with a couple of kooks hung up on romancing. And if you ever have to go to school, remember how they messed up this old fool. Don't pick fights with the bullies or the cats, 'cause I'm not much cop at punching other people's dads. And if the homework brings you down, then we'll throw it on the fire and take the car downtown. Will you stay in our lover's story? If you stay, you won't be sorry, 'cause we believe in you. Soon you'll grow, so take a chance with a couple of kooks hung up on romancing. Will you stay in my lover's story? If you stay, you won't be sorry, 'cause we believe in you. Soon you'll grow, so take a chance with a couple of kooks.
Okay, that was the Kooks with David Bowie, or the other way around.
Yeah.
No, it's not the Kooks. Apparently, you were just saying that the Kooks named themselves after that song. Is that right?
Yeah, it's one of those things I read.
Yeah. A crap idea for a crap band.
Yeah, they're terrible.
Okay.
They're really bad.
Yeah, I can't stand them. Right. Okay. Well, we'll start off with Hannah, which has sort of crept up on us a little bit.
Yeah.
There's been teaser trailers out for a while.
Yeah. For
but it's sort of generated some buzz. I think it's been out in America for a while.
Oh, right.
And it opens here on Friday. So it stars Saoirse Ronan. I was just saying earlier, I hope I pronounce it right.
Saoirse.
And Eric Banner, Kate Blanchett, and the wonderful Tom Hollander.
Yeah.
Who is just great.
It's Gemma Arterton, a cameo in it as well.
Gemma Arterton.
Yeah, Tamara Drew.
Not that I spotted.
Not the Kate Blanchett lookalike.
No. I'm pretty sure that isn't her. Have you seen that in the trailer?
In the trailer, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm 99% sure it isn't her.
Yeah.
Unless she's gone through some reconstructive surgery. but it's directed by Joe Wright, who, of course, did Atonement and Pride and Prejudice as well. And, of course, Saoirse Ronan was in Atonement,
yeah.
Which is really good. And I remember really liking Atonement when I first saw it. And I actually watched it again last night because I couldn't really sleep. He's a really good director.
Yeah.
And I think maybe a possible Bond in the future.
Ooh.
Off the back of this. Because it was a bit of a sideways step from sort of, you know, romantic period drama sort of thing.
I think this sort of spring/summer, the selection of films are going to suggest a big future in Bond.
Yeah, well,
including Fassbender.
Yeah.
That's the next Bond from Magneto.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe.
Even
maybe.
Vaughn doing a Bond.
Whatever. Let's get on with it. Anyway, it's written by David Farr as well, who was the director of the RSC. So he's got an acting and directing and writing background. So it's got some quite good pedigree here for your sort of like standard summer blockbuster. So the essential story of it is there's a girl called Hannah who's growing up with her father, Eric, played by Eric Banner, in the wilderness of Finland, in these sort of huge plains of, like, you know, very desolate, snowy and cold. And she sort of never had any contact with anything mechanical, no machines. She teaches her how to hunt, and she hunts deer and stuff and speak loads of languages. He's basically training her up to be, well, to have the credentials of someone who might become an assassin later in life. Might. Okay. And so there's this thing of when's she going to be ready, sort of. The actual story was written by a guy called Seth Lockhead, who wrote it while he was at film school in Vancouver. And then it was sort of adapted around this thing by David Farr. And so it's sort of, I mean, I have to say the trailer missells it really badly. The trailer's terrible.
Right.
It makes it look like a sort of, you know, a little bit like I Am Number Four or Tomorrow When the War Began, one of those like teen spy kids, Stormbreaker sort of thing. It's not that at all. If anything, it's a sort of almost like David Lynch-esque sort of twisty, sort of, there's lots of fairy tale imagery. She has, when she's growing up, she has this Brothers Grimm storybook, and that's like some of the only literature that she knows and stuff. So we have Cate Blanchett, who plays this very sinister, rather nasty-looking FBI, CIA agent called Marissa, and she is essentially the witch in a number of Brothers Grimm stories. But what this has most in common with is Hansel and Gretel. So she's very much the sort of child eater. You know, there's one of the scene where she's sort of brushing her teeth really vigorously with an electric toothbrush and all this. The blood's like running down her teeth and stuff. It's very David Lynch. It sort of turns into essentially a cat and mouse thing without wanting to give too much away. It turns out that Marissa was in some way responsible for the death of Hannah's mother. And so Eric has been in hiding. We know he's German, but we know he had links with the CIA. We know that he's got a bit of a grudge against this. So basically, what we're led to believe is he's training up his daughter to defend herself and maybe one day go and seek her revenge. So it is a sort of cross between like Jason Bourne and sort of
Kick-Ass in terms of the looking after, making her daughter, his daughter, into
I mean, it's more sort of fantastical and sort of fairy tale-y than that, really. And the action sequences are all superb, and especially the sort of fighting choreography with some nice humour to it as well. And Joe Wright's now known, his trademark is these huge long shots, like we had. I mean, the Atonement one that I was watching last night, I timed it. It's 5 minutes, 10 seconds,
the longest,
that shot.
And the most expensive, I think.
Yeah, and I don't know how they do it. And I don't know if it is actually one shot, because I'm not sure.
I think it
is. I know. I mean, it definitely looked, I was looking for points where cuts, it might be cut. But I mean, the gaffers and the Sparkies on set must be so pissed off when he meets up with the DOP and is like, this is what we're going to do. It's like, you bastard. Do you realise how much work that's going to make? And so there is one of them which sort of follows Eric Banner out of an airport and down into a sort of car park where he has this fight. And it looks wicked. It really is cool. Awesome. It's got this sort of neo-noir thing about it as well. It looks a little bit like what it reminded me a bit of is Luc Besson's Nikita.
Okay.
If you've seen that, that sort of same, you know, fantastical, very strong heroine. And sort of Wright has this, does have this taste for the theatrical, and he is a very sort of ambitious director in every sort of way that this is made, really. And it does have the sort of bawny cliches. There is a shot of someone getting a suitcase out of a safe with money and passports in it and stuff like. So we have seen that sort of thing before. But one of the great relationships is Hannah. She's sort of very innocent and otherworldly almost. And after she escapes from a place where she's been captured, she sort of meets up with this little girl whose parents are played by Olivia Williams and Jason Fleming.
Okay.
And Olivia Williams plays this absolutely brilliantly. She's a sort of really hippie-ish, very liberal mother with sort of long, sort of, you know, colourful clothes and stuff. She thinks that Hannah travelling on her own is just marvellous. She's like, oh, it's your parents, you know, they've let you, you know, experience the world.
Where is that set, that part?
This is in Morocco. So we start in Finland, and then we go to Morocco, and then we go over to Spain. And then we go to, I can't even remember. And then we go to Berlin, France, and then Berlin. So, you know, location-wise, it's up there with the Bournes and stuff. And Tom Hollander as well plays this sort of fantastically creepy paedophile mercenary assassin who sort of can do things that maybe the agency can't get away with.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, he's really underused. Yeah, he doesn't really... I mean, he's basically... a pretty pointless character, but you know, when he's on screen, he's great, and he's got this sort of very blonde, slick wig. I don't know if you've seen it.
Yeah, I've seen it.
He has this very, very creepy German accent and stuff. Yeah, he's sort of, when we meet him, he's directing a pantomime with a hermaphrodite cast stuff. It's all a bit weird. And so, yeah, I mean, and it totally works as well. I mean, it's real thumping roller coaster ride for want of a better phrase. And Ronan is really great. She's turning into a really good little
you can tell,
actress.
Just by looking at her, you just...
Yeah, and a lot of people were... I mean, I was a little bit disappointed with the Lovely Bones, but she was fantastic in this, and she's got a really good sort of way of acting facially. Mm. Like, everything's quite understated. Like, a lot of children of that sort of age, you know, will be waving their arms around in the Daniel Radcliffe drama school sort of way. She's a very understated, very reserved performance, and it's really, really is good, actually. I really liked her. Also the Chemical Brothers, I haven't mentioned, they do the soundtrack, which is really good, and that's also very pulled back and reserved. And I was saying earlier that maybe they made such a meal promotion-wise... of the fact that they did this soundtrack is because you wouldn't notice it. It doesn't, but like not having an orchestral score does distance it as well of some of the sort of, you know, very staccato jerky strings that we see in the Green Grassy and espionage things, which have become a little bit old hat, really. And there are little, you do keep coming around to Bourne, and then there's the whole project, and the big twist at the end is, let's say, Treadstone-esque at best.
That's a shame.
Yeah, it is a shame, but there's enough of the sort of Lynchian fairy tale stuff to really make it quite interesting. And you know, they're there to be seen. You know, they're not like hidden away in the foreground. I mean, basically the denouement ends up in the Brothers Grimm theme park. In Germany, where there's a huge gingerbread house and stuff.
Is there a Brothers Grimm?
I assume there is, yeah. Fantastic death at the end as well.
I won't tell you
who it is or what happens.
You need a fantastic
death. But let's say it's set up quite nicely for a sequel as well. And it does have, you know, at the end of the day, it's her film.
Yeah.
And Joe Wright's direction is really good, and it thumps along. It's nicely paced. Very nicely written. Eric Banner's very good.
Yeah.
Doesn't have much to do, but does it very well. But Saoirse Ronan, star of the show.
Great.
More to come from her in the future.
I'm really happy about that, because that was one of the films I was looking forward to.
Mm-hmm.
And I will see it at my own time.
A solid 4-star.
Good. Yeah.
Okay. Right. Do you want to take us through Cedar Rapids?
Cedar Rapids. Yeah. Cheddar Rapids.
Yeah. Cheddar Gorge.
Cheddar Gorge.
The Iowan answer to Cheddar Gorge.
Well, it's Iowa. Yeah. You're right there. Yeah. And it's basically every year in Cedar Rapids, there's an insurance convention in this hotel where one company will get the Two Diamond Award. Okay. Yeah. And a little town in Brown Valley where Tim Lippy lives. Mm-hmm. And he's never left the town. One of those, you know.
Yeah.
Never left the town. Doesn't really know what's going on. He's played by Ed Helms, who everyone will know from The Hangover, who loses a tooth in The Hangover and shouts, "What the hell is going on?" in The Hangover 2 trailer because he's got a tattoo on his head. He's not playing that character. He's playing a real sort of local doofus who's never been out, you know.
Is this one of these from the people that brought you The Hangover?
No.
Is it not?
No, I'll come on to who brought you this piece.
Of?
film. <Yeah. laughs> And so this guy's never left Brown Valley. Within Brown Valley, Brown Valley Insurance has won the Two Diamond Award four times running. Mm-hmm. And their rep every year has gone out, has won it. And they love him. And it's, but unfortunately, he dies due to an asphyxie wank.
Okay.
Okay.
Can we say asphyxie wank?
You can say asphyxie.
It's integral to the plot.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, because if he hadn't had that experience, poor old Tim Lippy.
We had that come up before as well. What was the film?
Asphyxiation.
World's Greatest Dad. That one with.
Oh yes, he did mention
that.
That
had some asphyxie love in it.
So this asphyxiation ceases the life of the original rep. So Tim Lippy has to go to Cedar Rapids. Mm-hmm. And he's and the boss of Brown Valley Insurance, played by the I didn't write his name down. I didn't think it was necessary, and now I realise it probably was. But the guy the guy from Dodgeball, the guy who wear the glasses and has the Asian wife.
Rip Torn.
The guy
in the wheelchair.
No, the guy with glasses who's like really nervous and then gets mad in the semi final and takes him.
I know. Okay.
Him. And he's the boss, and he's like, right, we need these diamonds, these two diamonds. And so do your best. And he gives him a list of people to avoid and a list of people to look after, And Ronald Wilkes is the person he's got to share a room with and this. Look after him. Be with Ronald. He's a good guy. Yeah. People to avoid. Dion Ziegler.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't sound very nice.
And he's played by John C. Reilly.
Okay.
And Joan, played by Anne Hesh.
John C. Reilly's a bit busy at the moment, isn't he?
Yeah.
Loads of stuff coming out.
Anne Hesh. I didn't realise Anne Hesh while I was watching it because I hadn't seen her for so long.
Yeah.
But she plays it in her sleep. Mm-hmm. There's an and in here. You know, an character or a cameo.
Is it Billy Zane?
It's not Billy Zane, unfortunately. But we've had an and from this person already this year.
Oh, really?
And she plays Tim Lippy's old high school teacher who he is having a relationship with in Brown Valley. And sort of the sum Ed Helms up or Tim Lippy up, After they had a romantic scene, he gives her a present, which is a stuffed bird, which is the same bird she used to have in her classroom. And attached to a wing is a commitment ring rather than an engagement ring. And she's like a bit taken about this. And she's played by Sigourney Weaver. Mm-hmm. So there we are. So that's the ad.
And
the second
Sigourney
ad, because she was in
Paul. Oh, she was. Surely she was uncredited.
No, she wasn't. Because she did some junkets. She was on the show doing it. Okay, so the whole premise is of obviously he doesn't avoid these people. Otherwise, there wouldn't be much of a film. so he goes to Cedar Rapids and gets sort of roped in. Dean Ziegler has the share room with him and Ronald. Ronald is actually quite a funny character. But is this all about this poor Ed Helms guy finding out about life? Basically, he gets really pissed. He takes a lot of drugs and realises that maybe the world... And actually, he has sex with one of the characters.
Naughty.
And then cries to Sigourney Weaver, who tells the shut up. So it's all about small town, big world. But the fact is, it's not big world. It's Cedar Rapids.
See, I just can't get... When you say Cedar Rapids, I can't get... coral reef out of my head.
Yeah.
I keep thinking, if you're not, if you didn't grow up in near Berkshire, Bracknell, where Edwin and I are both from, coral reef is basically the most awesome place in the history of the world. Yeah, yeah. It's a big swimming pool with a pirate ship. You can shoot the cannons at people.
Not
the
real
water.
Cannons. They're
it
water
is
cannons.
Amazing.
Yeah, and they got.
And Cedar
slides.
Rapids just sounds like a rubbish coral reef.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
And in a way, is it sort of?
It's sort of, there is a pool in there. They do go into after hours.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Did you do a laugh tally?
I didn't. But someone got, I almost did, because there was a sort of drunk.
Yeah.
In the cinema.
Oh, right.
Towards the back, who was laughing. But generally going.
What time of the day was this?
This was a 4:30 showing in the afternoon. So, and he was in there. And to be honest, at first I thought he might have been, you know, had issues with
asphyxie.
Well, no, I didn't think he was asphyxie. I generally thought he might be mentally disabled. But he was. No, I did.
Okay,
but
he
turned out he was just really drunk. Yeah. He kept on going throughout the film. This is such a bad film. And then going.
Was he on his own?
Yeah, he was on his own. Ooh, this is such a bad film. In a high-pitched voice. I was like, yeah.
Maybe he was a little bit.
No, he might have been. But to help ease that pain, he was on the booze. right. Now, there's not much more to say about it. Obviously, there's the head of the convention who he's got to please.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really enjoy it at all.
It doesn't sound like it.
No, I didn't find it funny. Mm. It's just one of those sort of small town American comedies.
Is it got a very indie sensibility?
No. Not an indie sensibility, but there's a sort of there's a sensibility about the perverseness of the comedy. So yeah. it's sort of wrapped in cellophane.
Is it pretentious, perhaps?
No, it's not pretentious. It just doesn't hit the mark on nearly every level.
Just not funny enough to be a comedy and not good enough to be a drama.
Yeah, and you know, the performances are all... John C. Reilly, you know, I've seen his character again and again, and it's just done.
Yeah.
You know, there's shots of him, like, passed out, half naked in the swimming pool, you know.
Mm.
Might get you a laugh, if you're lucky, but don't...
don't push it.
Don't think that's going to sell, you know, make your film funny.
Yeah, okay.
So it's directed by Miguel Arteta.
No, are you sure?
Yeah.
He's definitely called Miguel Arteta.
He's called Miguel Arteta.
And he doesn't play for Everton.
He did Youth and Revolt.
Yeah.
But he's mainly done like the odd TV director. So he's done an episode of The American Office.
Looking forward to Tim Cahill's new film.
Yeah. He's done an episode of 6 Feet Under, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So with that and The Office, you kind of sort of suggest what tone it is. It does sort of have that American Office tone.
Yeah.
Which is trying to be real, but not. But it's not.
But yeah, not overly bothered about.
The writer's never done anything.
I don't like The American Office.
Phil Johnson wrote nothing else before, apart from something called Ghosts and Aliens, which is a TV movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, this guy, Ed Helms, Tim Lippy, he's the kind looking, he's like a packet of nuts on the plane. Awesome. Like uber awesome, uber cool. And that's supposed to be funny, and it's just not. So
yeah,
bad
fair
luck.
Enough. All right then. Well, don't see that then.
No, don't.
Would you ever watch it if it was on telly or on a plane? Or
unless it was.
It's not offensive.
No, not really. Unless it was a specific point. In the
is
film.
It better than Greenberg?
No. You know, in hindsight, you know, I ripped Greenberg off the indie scene.
Yeah.
You know, Greenberg's not.
But
it bad.
Looks in the same sort of ballpark.
Oh, it's
that?
Not.
Is
no,
it not
no,
really?
No, not at all. Like Greenberg is you know, as indie as Ed Miliband's Labour.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ed Balls.
Ed Balls, yeah.
But Miliband's also Labour.
Yeah.
He's the head
of
it.
That's true. Okay.
Vote yes.
Good stuff. All right, then. Well, we'll listen to another song, and then we'll crack on with a bit of movie news. This is from the film Mad Dog and Glory. Have you seen that? You like
no.
Bill Murray, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Bobby De Niro and Bill Murray.
Oh, right.
Early 90s.
Did it work? Did it work? Have you seen it?
I haven't seen it, no. And by the way, this is called By the Shy Lights, and it's called Oh Girl.
Love. I just don't know how. Oh,
Okay, a little bit early there. Very slow fade out there.
Yeah.
Trying to get a few more minutes on their 45.
Squeeze.
Yeah. So that was the Shy Lights with Oh Girl. There's also a great episode of The Sopranos that this is in.
Oh, right.
Right, crack on. Movie news.
Movie news.
This is the news.
Surrounding film. Right, movie news. Well, the biggest story was broken to me by you, Jack.
Yeah.
Unreal.
This is the confirmation of Three Men and a Bride.
Wow.
Which is after how many years? It must be nearly 20.
I think Steve Guttenberg's knees must have been raw with the amount of begging.
I know, but actually, I had a look on the IMDb to see what Steve Guttenberg's been up to.
Is he producing?
He's actually been in a lot.
Oh, really? Television film?
And some films, yeah. None of which I've ever heard of.
No.
I think they must be sort of like 10 released in 10 cinemas in Idaho or something.
Yeah.
But he also looks like a different man.
He's really pushed himself out of it.
But yeah, Selleck, Danson and Guttenberg will all be reuniting.
Brilliant. Will it be the child actress?
Who was it? It wasn't anyone famous. No, it wasn't that Matilda one, was it?
No, Maria Wilson.
I wonder what happened to her, Maria Wilson.
She must have got ugly.
Yeah, bad luck. It's a harsh affliction for...
Yeah, Hollywood
Who
stars.
Did I see the other day? Ah, well, I'll save it, actually, for when we... Because we can't talk about this film yet. But there's a child actor who is unbelievable now.
Yeah.
That I'll tell you about it later. Okay, right. Well, do you want to crack on, do your trailers then?
I'll do a trailer. Potter trailer, out. Transformers 3.
Potter 2.
Yeah, Potter part 2,
Potter
out.
Potter 7B.
Yeah.
I rewatched Potter 7A this week. Mm. It is boring as medicine.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was all right in the cinema, but once you know the plot, don't watch it again. It goes on and on and on.
I might still watch it before I watch the second one, because I know you just told me not to.
All right, fine.
But,
you know,
maybe
respect
just
me.
Just to recap my where I am.
Yeah.
So I don't like watching half a film, whether it's the first or the second half.
It is
unless
definitely.
They do a sort of 24 reminder at the beginning. Previously on
they
Harry
should
Potter,
do that.
Part two.
It
part
has
one,
been 10, 11 years since the first one.
Bum, bum, bum. Yeah, a sort of X Factor final.
I think I pretty much gave up when Gary Oldman...
Died. Yeah,
he doesn't come back though to life, does he? I don't know.
I wish.
Okay.
So yeah, T3 trailer, Transformers 3.
No,
there, so boohoo.
That.
One other trailer, One Day, which looks like a romantic drama with Jim Sturgis and Anne Hathaway. But to finish off with the trailers, and we mentioned this quite a while back, and mentioned it about Priest.
Yeah,
Paul Bettany's new film,
which is out next week.
Which that has also got Karen Gillan in.
Oh, has it?
Yeah.
Ah.
Not
Amy Pond.
Is that?
Hmm?
Was that the film that you're talking about, Priest? In terms of the
in
quiz
terms
master?
Of, I am very, very fingers crossed.
Yeah, because I it was this trailer was on.
Yeah.
Before Cedar Rapids, and it's the worst trailer. I think they show. About a bit in every scene, the whole film.
Yeah, it does look like that.
It shows every scene in the whole film. There's a snippet of every scene. So
it's like
fast forwarding 30 plus times.
Well, I'm sure it's more.
So that looks terrible.
It'll be like, we'll see if the quizmaster is extra deep in the doghouse this week.
Yeah,
we won't. Let's not wash our
hurt.
Dirty
that's
laundry
hurt
in public.
But the final thing I'll talk about is Moonrise Kingdom. It's in production now, Wes Anderson's new film.
Okay.
So we know a bit more about the characters. Bruce Willis played the sheriff of the town.
Yeah.
And Ed Norton will play the camp leader. Mm-hmm. And Bill Murray and Frances McDormand will be playing the parents of one of the girl.
Oh.
Remember, it's about two young girl and a boy who run away from this, town in the 60s, and they all look for them.
Sorry.
So that's sort of interesting. I think we knew Willis was the sheriff, but it'd be interesting to see Murray and McDormand as husband and wife.
I can't really picture them straight off, but I'm sure
they'll
be good.
Try something. I can imagine how Norton's going to play the camp leader.
Yeah.
When
you say a camp leader, he's the leader of a camp, not a leader that is camp.
I think he might be a camp leader. I think he might play it like that, personally.
Yeah. Sure.
I just don't think he does comedy well at all.
No, he really doesn't.
He just puts on a silly voice.
Yeah.
Do drama, Norton.
Yeah.
Anyway.
He's having a bit of a stinky few years, really.
Yeah, I think he is in De Niro's wake at the moment. That's all I've got. So pretty useless okay, news on my half.
Well, they're not much better on this. I mean, some quite exciting things. Wizard of Oz, is being... I mean, I can't believe they haven't remade The Wizard of Oz yet.
I know, but at the same time, just leave it alone.
Yeah, that's like, true.
No one's going to remake Gone with the Wind.
And, Rachel Weisz is going to be the Wicked Witch in that. Yeah. So, you know, who knows? Catherine Bigelow has revealed that she's actually been already making a documentary or spending time researching the people who recently killed Bin Laden.
Yeah.
And so she says she might be turn it into a film about that. We'll see. But that could be interesting. Personally, yeah. I think it might be quite boring. Like,
well, I'm not Hurt Locker. Interested. I'm not interested.
Hurt Locker was so overrated.
I had one best film.
Unbelievable. Yeah. But this is quite interesting. Paul W.S. Anderson is doing a big epic called Pompeii.
Yeah.
Which I assume is about the destruction of Pompeii, not about the everyday life of Caecilius the banker and his son Quintus that bored the feces out of me when I was at school.
Yeah.
Apart from that, that's pretty much it. I mean, George Lucas has announced that the Star Wars Blu-ray is coming out, which is going to be a 9-disc special.
Cha-ching.
So I assume that'll be... Well, I mean, come on.
How rich do you want to get?
Yeah. I mean, why didn't you bring it up when Blu-ray came out 3 years ago?
Yeah.
It's the same with the Lord of the Rings things. They've released the originals and then they leave it 2 years to release the extended one. And so they think that people are going to buy both. And people probably will.
People do.
People are idiots. Mm. Okay, so talking of Lord of the Rings, it's time to lower our voices, get our brollies out, and go down to the Hobbit set.
Mm. Hobbit Watch!
Quiet, Mr. Gandalf, you'll scare him off.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, Hobbit Watch time. Three bits of Hobbit news for you. I told Edward earlier about Lee Pace being confirmed for a role in The Hobbit, and he said, who's Lee Pace?
Yeah, I forgot.
Short memory, mate.
Yeah, I forgot that I completely ruined him in The Resident.
Yeah.
And I stick by that.
Yeah, so he's on board. There's also, we gave you the sad news that...
Sean from EastEnders.
Sorry, Sean. I can't remember your real name. Had to give back his role of Philly to go home for personal reasons. And he's been replaced by Dino.
Dino?
It's Dino Gorman.
Yeah.
It's actually Dean O'Gorman, not Dino Gorman.
But it certainly sounds like it should be Dino.
But it does definitely sound like it should be called Dino. And another one that was announced just by a little photo that Peter Jackson put up on Twitter of him on set with Hugo Weaving.
Yeah.
So I think it's safe to assume that Hugo is on board as Lord Elrond. So that's exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, that's good. That's
great.
Good.
All right then. Cool. Let's move on to the competition.
Competition, yeah.
Card. Card.
Right, competition time.
Yeah.
Not pleased with... Well,
I quite like it when people can't get
too
it.
Too right, yeah.
When
our regulars, and you know bloody well who you are.
Yeah, we're not going to give you the satisfaction of naming and shaming
Get
you.
One right, we're going to name you again. Got it wrong. So, very few people got it right.
Yeah, I almost thought I wouldn't bother doing this one because it's so obvious, but I think maybe because this is a film that... was played a lot in my house.
Yeah, and also
in my formative years.
Plonked onto the universe as we were turning 10. Or no, sorry, 8.
No.
7?
I can't remember when it came out.
So
around them. I remember it watching
it came out.
No, it's way before that. 91, I'd say.
Okay.
So whatever, 6, 7. Yeah, so this, we'll play you the clip here, so you can remind yourselves of it.
I've just had a sublime vision, where all the jagged parts of my life have come together to form a complete and mystical whole. An epiphany.
An epiphany. Don't try and stop me, Smee. Don't you dare try and stop me.
Stop me,
Smee. Of course, that was Dustin Hoffman having a lot of fun.
A lot of fun.
As Captain Hook.
I think he had the most fun out of everyone in that film.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he really hams it up big time. He's not really known for his sort of panto performances, but
he nailed it.
I mean, unfortunately, If you grew up watching Hook and you absolutely loved it when you were a kid, don't go anywhere near it.
Yeah, don't touch it again.
It really is stinky.
It's like the mask effect.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and the Goonies as well to some extent for me.
Yeah.
Well done to all the people that got that right. So I'll give the... Well, it's a little coffee cup of glory this week. Incidentally, the bin this week. I was going to do a jingle for what's in the bin.
We'll get around to that.
But there is some chicken Gelfrezi and some asparagus.
And a can of pop.
And a can of diet pop. Other fizzy pops are available.
Yeah. Full fat pops are available.
Yeah.
And okay. Zero pops.
Do you want, shall I pour them out?
When you pour the answers out, well, okay. The correct winners.
Lots of people said it was Jason Isaacs. They were close.
J. Finn, as in J. Finn, in Homer's middle name.
Okay, we don't know. Yeah, no, because his middle name is actually J, spelled J-A-Y.
Yeah, that's what I said.
This is J. Finn.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Okay, congratulations, J. Finn. We don't know what your real name because you didn't give it to us.
So I assume it's Johan.
Exactly, Johan.
Johan Finn.
Congrats.
Well done.
Okay, so here's your chance to win 100 grand. Starting off with
five. You could win $5,000. You could win 15 quid. You could win 100,000. You could win 25. You really could win $5,000, and you could win 25.
Two 25s. Imagine. 15.
You won nothing.
Won nothing.
You won nothing. Yeah.
No surprises there.
Yeah.
But unfortunately,
and we are being sexist. Could be Jane, Joan.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jessica.
Oh yeah, that's true. Sorry, such
Jenny.
Sexist pigs.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Well,
Jafar.
Fortunately for you. Jeremiah,
yeah.
There is a whole stack of DVDs here, and I'm just going to go over and Edward will pick one out.
I'll pick one out for you, John.
Do you want to entertain people while I put them in the back?
Just thinking of more names, like J, Jesus, depending if you drop, yeah, Jehoshaphat, Jeremy, good okay. one, Jeremy Finn.
Close your eyes.
Okay. Joshua Finn.
What was the name of the... Toad with galoshes in Enidblyton.
Jed.
Jed. Right, okay. You got one?
Yeah, what is this?
Do you want to say what it is?
It's Mean Streets.
Martin Scorsese classic.
De Niro, Keitel.
That is a cracking film.
Wow.
Harvey Keitel, Johnny Boy, De Niro, yeah. Oh, unbelievable film.
Well done.
A few unknowns that are later crop up in Scorsese pictures.
Genie.
I would say maybe my favourite Scorsese picture.
Wow.
Very influential film. And also not many, I don't think that many people have seen Mean Streets.
I have not seen it.
Yeah, it's brilliant. It's truly brilliant. Okay, so well done, Joshua. And if you send us your real name and your address, then we will post that to you, along with your, unfortunately, redundant scratch card.
Yeah.
So sorry about that, but we'll crack on. So we'll give you the next clip for the week.
Yeah, this is a...
I like this one a lot.
This is one of our favourites.
Makes me laugh every time I hear it. I don't know. I mean, I think people are going to get them when, you know, no one gets it. When I think they're hard, we get millions. but I think most people know this film well enough to be able to get this. So have a listen and see who you think this could be.
Do you intend to leave us standing on the doorstep all day with drenched? Look, that gun and caught a sniffle.
Oh. So good.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah, it's funny. Okay, I laughed at it originally, but we didn't catch it.
Oh, his dad would be turning in his grave.
Yeah.
Little clue there. Mm. Right. So if you think you know who that is, then email to the usual address, which is celluloidheroesradio.com/competition.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to hear it again, you can go to celluloidheroesradio.com/competition. You can see it there. You can also get in touch on Twitter, which is @MyCelluloidHero. You can also get in touch on Facebook, which is facebook.com/celluloidheroes.
Brilliant.
Okay.
Well done.
Right. I'm getting quite rehearsed at that now.
Yeah, very good at it.
Okay. Well, we'll crack on with another song. This is a track by Icelandic songstress Björk. And it's from the film Leon, which someone won last week. You haven't claimed your prize yet, by the way.
Yeah, sort that out.
And this is called Venus as a Boy.
Exciting.
Okay, that was Bjork with Venus as a Boy. Edward's almost nodding off there.
Yeah,
a little
sorry,
bit tired
yeah.
today.
If you had played that song, I probably would have nodded off.
You
I'm knackered.
Yeah, just...
I'm cream cracker Jeremiah, if you're
shagged
still
out. Yeah. Or Jacob's
Jacob.
Cracker.
That would have been much better.
Yeah, okay.
I said that.
All right, then. Well, I'll quickly rattle through. There's not too much to just say about this. But this is a film called Farewell or Le Faire Farewell, which is directed by and written by a guy called Christian Carillon. And this is un film français, or a French film.
One of your favourite.
Yeah, although it does actually star some American actors, people.
Like Malkovich and people like that.
Like Willem Dafoe.
Oh.
And Diane Kruger, although she's actually German.
Yeah.
Diane Kruger was in Unknown
Glasses.
As well.
Was she?
Did the other day. And also, well, it's basically starring Guillaume Canet, who plays a guy called Pierre, and it's sort of a espionage, real-life thriller based on a guy called Vladimir Vetrov, who was a sort of disillusioned... they changed the names and stuff, it's quite loosely based, but our main character here is not called the same thing, but he's a sort of disgruntled colonel in the KGB who sells some secrets to the French in 1980, so this is probably mid-Cold War.
Yeah.
And he's rather peeved because the French have sent him as a sort of liaison, an amateur, an engineer, basically, who has no sort of espionage experience. So we go between, and then we have all this stuff with Ronald Reagan, who is played by a guy called Fred Ward, who is an absolute dead ringer
for
1980 Ronald Reagan.
Oh,
it's
great.
Ridiculous. Unfortunately, he doesn't, like act that like him, and then Willem Dafoe, who plays the head of the CIA, so this is all a little bit soft, hush hush. Also, Reagan's right hand man is played by David Soul from Starsky and Hutch fame. So it's sort of an old school espionage thriller, but it's quite sort of conversational and low key, but still quite gripping. It's sort of almost intentionally. Not slow paced, but again, distance from the modern espionage of, things like Bourne again, Come Back to Bourne. It's much more sort of like a John le Carré novel or something like that. You know what I mean? Mm. There's not really that much you can say without giving out away the plot. But it's sort of quite a complicated, twisty-turny plot dealing sort of questions about patriotism, and it's quite sort of moral ambiguity, like who's right, who's wrong, what's sort of acceptable under these sort of circumstances. And it moves along quite sort of in a restrained fashion. It's reminded me a little bit of that Carlos thing that came out last year, which was actually
really
a very long
it.
TV movie, which is really good. And it sort of reins itself back quite well every time it feels like it's going to go a little bit off the rails. And it's, directed with atmosphere and finesse and sort of a wonderful sense of tension that reflects the time quite well. The sense of location and setting is very good. One problem is it's in a lot of different language because you're going from Moscow to Paris to London to America, and they don't... There's no, because it's subtitled in the foreign languages, it's quite hard to know who's who sometimes because a Russian speaking French with a Russian accent sounds a little, so you you know, you forget some of the characters. And, you know, it's sort of an old school espionage, as I said, like lots of people meeting in parks, benches and going like, the eagle has landed, or the fox flies south in the winter, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Trigger happy. But, you know, it's actually, Ronald Reagan described the actual event as the most important espionage case of the 20th century. So, if anything, really, it's slow paces, almost like stubbornly so sometimes. And it's nicely shot and acted and does a good job of telling you quite a remarkable story that you probably haven't heard before. But, you know, it's quite boring.
Sounds it,
yeah.
To be honest.
I mean, it's good. It's accomplished and works very well. But, you know, there's a reason why people make spy thrillers like James Bond.
Yeah, fictional, you know, spy thrillers.
The inner workings of, you know, document linking and stuff is a little bit sort
of... It's dull, isn't it?
...political and dull.
Yeah.
Not to say that there aren't, like, good
some
moments.
Some cool spies
in it,
out there, yeah, who kill people and wear Ray-Bans.
Yeah, and, you know, it's all... Yeah, it's
get the girl.
It's fine. It's a three-star.
Sibuff.
Yeah, Sibuff. Okay.
How relevant.
Insidious. I went out of my way not to see this.
Yeah.
This is from the makers of Paranormal Activity 2.
Yeah.
And it's got one of those trailers where they interview people coming out of the cinema going, oh, I'm so scared, I thought I was going to die.
Yeah.
And they look like absolute mongs.
I mean, I could sum this up.
Is that politically incorrect, mong?
No, I don't think so.
I think it is. Never
mog.
Mind. Mog.
That's the
mog
cat.
Yeah. Complete pussies.
So, where to start with this? Because I've written a lot down,
okay,
which I don't usually do on the right-hand side of my book. On the left-hand side, I fill in afterwards with cast members.
Okay,
and stuff like that.
Breaking down the fourth wall there.
Yeah. So, what's clear from the start of this film, mm-hmm, is that they're trying to homage classical horror.
Okay.
And you can tell that simply by the music,
mm-hmm,
and the sort of the cutaways to the titles with horror music. it goes insidious, and then you see, and this happens all the way throughout the whole film. There's this underlying bass sort of,
mm-hmm,
throughout.
Sound like Vin Diesel's falling asleep in the seat behind.
Yeah,
you, maybe.
I did have to turn around, and then of course I remembered
there
I
was
the only one in there.
Was there?
No, he didn't follow me into Insidious.
It'd be weird if he was just doing double bills.
If he did follow me in, he probably would have been scared shitless. And I mean, you know.
Yeah, so thematically, it's obviously got a lot in common with a lot of the classic, you know, with The Exorcist and The Omen.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, the possessed people, child thing.
Yeah, you
is,
think, you know, this has got a lot in common with The Omen, but it's not because it's not about the devil inside the sun. In fact, it's actually about the devil trying to get inside.
Okay. Because the big tagline is, it's not the house, it's your son.
Yeah, and they find
it. Yeah,
because they went. You know, they move into this lovely house, incredibly creaky floorboards.
Really?
You know,
was it really cheap by any chance?
Sorry?
Was it really cheap?
No, unfortunately
not. Like
not
in The Resident?
No, it wasn't. Oh, this is so cheap.
And The Simpsons.
And that seems to be every wall's hollow. it's not that. They got £3, yeah. Ridiculous names, again, forgot to write them down, but they'll... Like Layton. No, mm-hmm, not Layton.
Their surname. Oh, Dalton.
Dalton, yeah. Yeah, Dalton.
Yeah,
which
I remember that from the training.
Yeah, so Dalton, so there's that sort of D.
Timothy Dalton.
Yeah, and that sort of... Because what's the Omen child called? He gives a D, doesn't
it? Damien.
Damien. So Damien, mm-hmm, Dalton, not too far off.
Mm-hmm.
At all, really. And I don't know what the other kids
are. If you call your child Dalton, you're asking for trouble, really.
Yeah. Yeah, unless your if his surname's
and
Timothy,
yeah,
you got a bit of a... You got a bit of a, you know...
Go and run the Happy Shopper in Wells.
Yeah.
No, what was it called? Summerfield.
I've heard of someone called James Bond.
Yeah.
So their parents having a laugh.
He'll always be remembered for Hot Fuzz, I think, more so.
What do you mean?
Timothy Dalton.
Oh, Dalton. Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely Hot Fuzz.
Yeah.
But look, so we've got this classical horror. They're in this creaky house. They move in and, you know, stuff starts going down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In a Paranormal Activity way or in a poltergeist way?
In a poltergeist slash Paranormal Activity way. And like in most of these films, the baby monitor is...
oh, come on.
I know. Yeah, I'll put an asterisk.
I think we should write 10 rules that we'll put up on the website. 10 things that you're not allowed to use anymore in horror films.
Creaky floorboards.
Creaky floor worlds.
Baby monitors.
Girls with straggly hair coming out of lakes.
Old ladies.
People that are standing at windows where there's a big flash of lightning and their face is revealed.
Yeah. I mean, that's all in there. I must say...
Baby monitors.
I was scared 4 times. Scared me 4 times this time.
Okay, that's good. That's 4 more than Paranormal Activity 2.
Yeah, and 8 more than The Resident, because I laughed 4 times in it. So,
that's a minus point.
That's a negative. This kid, Dalton, goes into a coma. They think it's a coma. Nothing's wrong with him, but he's not waking up. They don't know why. Everything going normal. And then it's 3 months later, and they bring the boy from hospital into a house and look after him there with all the wires and everything. And that's when things really go wrong. So they move house. It must be the house. We'll move house. They move to a new house. That's haunted as well.
So actually, it's not your house, it's your son. That's quite obvious, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a bit obvious. It's like, if you hadn't told me that, it might have been a nice initial...
Send him off to hospital.
Initial twist.
Yeah.
Because there are more twists. okay, but this, and then,
let's not give away the end of the film.
No, this film is, I mean, I hadn't seen the trailer.
It's a good film, so...
I hadn't seen the trailer before.
Oh, right. Okay.
Which helps. And I suggest any horror film you want to see, don't see the trailer. Especially if it's Paranormal Activity, who show you the scariest, under inverted, scariest part of the film in the trailer. So
that's because nothing happens in the rest of
it. Yeah, nothing. Well, the great thing about this, I thought, it's going to be one of these when nothing happens for ages.
Yeah.
It gets on quite early on,
good.
Which is good. So you're into the you get the idea that this place is haunted. And it turns out, that after a while of like, the wife going crazy and the husband who's a teacher just saying, calm down, dear. All right, we'll move.
Calm down,
dear. We'll get a priest. Get a priest. And, I mean, literally, the shot is him coming, a priest and the wife sitting on the sofa. Mm. And the idea of the scene is they're already there and they've obviously just had their conversation. And then the husband comes in and sees her. But the sort of throwaway lines the priest says, it's the only lines in the film he says, he's just there. They're sitting down, he's just like, yeah, have faith, just have trust. And then he comes through the door. It's like, the worst sort of throwaway lines ever. It's like, great, you're useful as a priest. And then it's like, oh, okay, well, you've gone to faith now. It's like, when the last time you go to church? All that malarkey.
Yeah.
But it turns out, and this is where the film gets terrible from quite good, not quite good, but scary at times to the absolute ridiculous. And what the problem with this is, there's a point in the film about 2/3 of the way through where two films meet.
Okay.
That sometimes happens. You're like, what's going on here? So it turns out that Dalton is not possessed. He is what people call an astro projector.
Okay. Now, is this significant plot you're giving me?
No, because it's in the trailer. But essentially, he can, when he's dreaming, he can float away from his body into a subliminal universe, and he gets lost while he's floating away.
That's careless.
And so his body is void, vacant. Mm-hmm. And what all these hauntings are these evil people trying to get in and repossess his body. Yeah. Including a horrible-looking demon.
Is that what gave you a little chill?
At one point, because he turns out to be behind the mum. I'll go through the cast list anyway, but the mum's... Sorry, the granny, who's played by Barbara Hershey, who made a fantastic performance in Black Swan earlier in the year. So the demon is... It's ridiculous. It's half sort of Mr. Tompkin with the hooves.
Yeah.
And then half Darth Maul.
Oh, really?
From episode one. Mm-hmm. I mean... Almost the same makeup artist. But, it does look scary, and some of the ghosts are scary, and obviously that's what scared me. But those viral, adverts that...
The one where it goes, click this to maximise,
and
then it goes,
and it scares the hell out of you.
Yeah.
It's just a bunch of those, and those were the scary points in it. So not into the plot.
They're quite easy scares.
But they're easy scares, but they still scare you, and that's what you want to do as a horror film, A fart joke will make you laugh, it still makes you laugh, But and that's why I was scared, and I enjoy those scares, and I liked it. But then comes along Miss Marple, otherwise Lynn Shay, who plays Elise, or Elise, who knows how to deal with these astral projectors. And this is where the film collides with 12 Hours, when you get all this jargon, and then you get her two minions who come in, and they're like a shitty double act from Ghost, you know, like the old, you know, like if like the Ghostbusters remake with these two idiots.
Yeah.
And one of them actually is the writer.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I didn't write his name down. God, I was tired today. But he wrote the short, because it was a short before it became a film.
Yeah.
It was directed by James Wan, who directed this. And then they did Saw 1, Saw 2, Saw 3, then Dead Silence, then a film called Death Sentence. They didn't do 4 or 5.
Yeah. Or 7.
Or 7. or 6. Patrick Wilson is the main guy, the father.
Yeah.
He's Josh Lambert. He is in Watchmen, and he's the love interest in Morning Glory. Rose Byrne, who plays the mum and the wife. She's from like Knowing and Troy, stuff like that. We got Barbara Hershey, and then Lynn Shea plays Elise. So that's the cast. Mm-hmm. And it's scary, but it doesn't quite work.
Yeah.
Because it's this ridiculous plot.
Yeah. But better than you thought it was going to be, was it?
Well,
I mean, for a forfeit.
And it was a great forfeit, because I slightly enjoyed it. And until the two films collide.
Was it better than Coral Reef?
But much better than Coral Reef.
Okay.
I was scared and
but not enough.
Right.
You want to be more scared, maybe?
No. There's an old lady in it, a scary old lady in it, who's like a ghost. And she's played by a man.
Ooh.
Turns out his only two parts in his filmography are that and The Blair Witch.
Oh, really?
Maybe he's a man! And he's a bloody man! No wonder he's scary!
Good stuff. All right, then. We'll have another song, and then we'll clack on with the Stink and the Stonker, shall we?
Yeah.
And then we'll see who's going to be seeing Priest. So, big time scary.
Ooh, I really think it's going to be scary the airbender of the year, this film.
Oh, I don't know. Anyway, this is from the film Flashback, which we played a song from the other day, actually, with Kiefer Sutherland and Dennis Hopper. This is by Lou Reed, and it's called Walk on the Wild Side.
Holly came from Miami, FLA. Hitchhiked her way across USA. Plucked her eyebrows on the way. Shaved her legs and then he was a she. She says, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. Said, hey honey, take a walk on the wild side. Candy came from out on the island. In the back room she was everybody's darling. But she never lost her head. Even when she was given head, she says, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. Said, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. And the colored girls go doo 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 doo. Little Joe never once gave it away. Everybody had to pay and pay. A hustle here and a hustle there. New York City is the place where they said, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. I said, hey Joe, take a walk on the wild side. Sugar Plum Fairy came and hit the streets, looking for soul food and a place to eat. Went to the Apollo, you should have seen him go, go, go. They said, hey sugar, take a walk on the wild side. I said, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. All right. Ha. Jackie is just her speeding away. Thought she was James Dean for a day. Then I guess she had to crash. Valium would have helped that patch. I said, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. I said, hey honey, take a walk on the wild side. And the colored girls say, doo 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 doo.
How you doing? This is Ray Winstone, and you're listening to Celluloid Heroes. Crack on.
I'm Stonker. I'm the Stinker. What's the Stonker? Mr. Stinker.
I don't know. I guess it's a bit longer.
Yeah.
A double, a couple of like unwanted farts there.
Yeah, sure.
And have you laughed at that? That's an example
that's
of a
funnier
funny
than Coral Reef, yeah. Cheddar Rapids, Cheddar
yeah.
Gorge.
Yeah,
okay, Stinker Stonker time.
Right.
Surely it's calmed down a little bit.
It really
double,
has.
Double
yeah.
Bank holiday.
And a lot of sort of.
If you're a first time listener, by the way, this is the point of the show where we take you through the television listings. Sorry if you live somewhere else in the world. It's your fault for being foreign.
Idiots. Not living
no,
in the
no,
best
that's
country
the,
in the world.
That's not true.
That's
we
not
love everyone. If anything, I want to live in your country.
Yeah.
Wherever that is.
Wherever that may be.
Yeah.
Except Germany.
Okay.
So this week.
So let's have the stinker. No, no. We don't mean that.
No.
I
meant Germania, yeah. Which covers quite a few of the now Baltic states.
Let's not try and dig your way out of that one.
No.
Let's just
no,
that,
no, no,
let
no,
that
no,
rest.
No, 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 no.
Okay. Stinky, stinky, stinky time.
Two bank holidays in a row. A lot of films came out.
Yeah.
Now a few obviously have resurfaced, and I've tried as hard as I can to avoid previous stinkers the last 2 weeks and previous stonkers.
Sure.
But they do show up everywhere.
Yeah.
So what do you want?
Stinkers first, please.
Stinkers first, please. Okay, on Wednesday, ready for this? You hang on the edge of your seat?
Mm-hmm.
At 11 p.m. on Wednesday, and ITV2, it's some people like it, Alexander.
Oh, it's terrible.
Yeah. Colin Farrell.
Yeah.
Angelina Jolie.
Mm-hmm.
Hopkins.
That is a... we'll talk about that.
Okay. And then we skip all the way to Sunday.
Sure.
Which is nice. Stinker free on the Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Unless that repeats. 1 p.m. on Film Floor, on Film 4.
Yeah.
Not Floor. Is a film called Hope Floats.
Okay, haven't
sort
seen
of,
it.
Sandra Bullock trying to be serious.
Yeah.
3 p.m. Channel 5, Short Circuit 2.
That, I'm afraid to say, is a stinker.
Mm. 11 p.m., which, you know, on ITV2, so you have to stay up pretty late to catch this one. It's The Bucket List.
Oh, yeah, that's really bad.
Which is really bad. It's Morgan Freeman and Jack Nicholson trying to list off the things they want to do before they die.
Yeah. My dad seeing that on a plane and being really angry. About it. It was absolute crap.
Get me off the plane! Get me off the plane! Calm down, sir.
But at least they didn't black up like the guy in Short Circuit 2.
No, yeah. Which
what was he in the other day when we realised that he blacked up?
You know
up?
Exactly what he was in. He was in one of my worst forfeits of the year, the one with Keanu Reeves. What was it called?
Oh, Henry's Crying.
Henry's Crying. Yeah. Everyone but Henry's Crying, that film.
Yeah.
11:10 on Sunday, Big Mama's House.
Okay, well, that's going to take some beating.
And 11:25 on BBC One is Irresistible, which is a sort of romantic drama.
Mm-hmm.
With Sam Neill.
Well done, Martin Lawrence.
Yeah.
God knows how many awards he's won. Stinker of the week. But yeah, there you go.
So
Big Mama's House.
Yeah. So not many stinkers.
No, not at all. Only four really.
Sure was a good sign. But there are a lot of films obviously out there which are more, you know, aren't as good as they're more bad than they are good. Mm-hmm. But if that makes any grammatical sense. But The Stonkers.
Yeah.
Thursday we start, so nothing on tonight. Don't worry about tonight.
Sure.
But on ITV4 at 10:35 tomorrow night is Training Day.
Okay, I like Training Day.
On Friday at 9 PM on Film 4 is Predator.
Mm-hmm.
On Saturday at 3:10 on ITV, sort of 3:10 in the afternoon ITV, can only be a Bond.
Yeah.
This one's The Man with the Golden Gun.
That's a good one.
And then at 9 PM on Film 4, and I put it on because I think it's the first time it's been on sort of free/terrestrial digital television, Iron Man.
Okay.
11 PM, this has been on a few times before, but in fact...
That's a sex word.
Bleep it. I won't use it. It was The Matrix, but let's pretend I didn't say it because you know, that's been on all the time. I don't know why I did that. 11:20 on Film 4, Pan's Labyrinth.
Mm-hmm.
On Sunday, at an interesting time of 4:40 in the afternoon on ITV, is About a Boy, which I really think is this quite sweet in English.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I like Hornby. I know he only wrote, I mean, he wrote the screenplay.
The book's much better than the film. It's one of the most annoying phrases in the world, but unfortunately it's applicable here.
It does apply. Yeah. But it's the birth of Nicholas Hoult.
Who's not going away.
Yeah, he's not going away.
He's very good in A Single Man as well. He's got a cracking American accent, which is a very big stepping stone across the pond.
Across the pond. It's the giant one in the middle of the pond. And it's the birth of Hoult, the death of Grant. Yeah. And what I think is another cracking performance from Toni Collette, who's one of my favourite female actresses.
Mm-hmm.
She plays that part really well.
Yeah, she's very good.
4:45 on Sunday, old classic, Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Yeah.
Film 4. 9 PM, ITV3 in Sigourney Weaver season, Gorillas in the Mist.
Oh.
I thought, well, that's good. Nearly made an asterisk, but I've got my asterisks as always.
Yeah, still compromise that one.
I will never.
Sure.
9 PM on Sunday, and ITV4 is National Lampoon's Animal House.
Okay.
Which has to be seen by everyone.
Yeah, it is great.
Yeah.
But
there are two more, sorry.
Oh, two more, sorry.
Yeah, sorry. I just won't stop, will I? 11 PM on Sunday is The Descent on Film 4, which I think is
a damn
good horror.
First one. Second one's terrible.
I haven't even tried, but the first one is scary. That one scene where... But they do have that in the luckily I hadn't seen the trailer, saw it afterwards, it's in the trailer, that scene. Yeah. So
if you haven't seen The Descent, don't watch the trailer.
Yeah, just go and watch it. Last film, 10:35, this must be on Monday, on ITV, is Shawshank Redemption.
Okay. All right, well, Pan's Labyrinth.
Yeah, hands down, isn't
it? Sorry. You may have had it before, but it's the best film of the week. What can we do?
Yeah, so that's at 11:20 on Saturday on Film 4, and my asterisk of the week.
Your asterisk
of the week is Mars Attacks.
Oh, well, that's good. I like it,
but it's not a stonker. I mean, it's ridiculous.
It's not a stonker.
But it's one of the heaviest cast listings of previous, including likes of Tom Jones and Evander Holyfield, Jack Nicholson as the president.
The granny in it is. Jack Nicholson plays three parts in it, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. Yeah,
he plays that Texan guy as well, and another one.
Does he play like a bum? Casino.
Oh, the casino owner, is it? I can't remember.
There's so many parts. Yeah. Pierce Brosnan's head attached to a dog, or no, Sarah Jessica Parker. I mean, it's interesting stuff. Anyway, that's on ITV at 10:35.
Who directed it?
Tim Burton.
It was Tim Burton.
Yeah. Definitely Tim. But no Johnny Depp.
No.
Or maybe he was.
Maybe before his.
He should have played the independent sort of guy. You know, the kind of.
What year was Mars Attacks? 96, something like that.
It was very soon after Independence Day, wasn't it? It was like the anti-Independence Day.
I like the granny is the best in it. She's my favourite.
Who was the granny doing?
The granny who is the only one who doesn't realise that the aliens are taking over. And she just sits in her home with her stuffed cat listening to the record that they end up using
all dying
to kill
them
all.
Okie
doke. Right, well, let's do the DVD top 10 quickly, shall we?
Yeah.
Taken is long gone. Taken is number 15.
Well, it's not long one, is it?
It's 105th week in the charts this week. But number 10, The Girl Who Kicked the Hornet's Nest, which is, you know, the second best of them.
Yeah.
Number 9, Cinderella, which is a pretty iffy Disney, if we're going to be honest.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to watch that.
New entry at number 8, I watched this, Animals United.
It is terrible, apparently.
Yeah. Number 7, Tron Legacy.
Yeah.
Number 6, Burlesque. Number 5, Inception, is, of course, brilliant. Number 4, The Chronicles of Narnia, The Voyage of the Dawn Treader. Yeah, not great. Number 3, people are buying this, people are stupid, little fuckers. And number 2,
The Tourist. The Tourist is, you get the same reaction when you see a tourist on the tube, and you're like, oh, idiot. What an idiot. He's got a map.
Why are you quite racist?
Idiot. He's got a map and a map.
Come here
and
taking our jobs.
Yeah.
And number 1 for the second week running is Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1. Which, yeah, as we discussed earlier, is quite fun first time round. Second time round, it's pretty dull. Which is why Edward's now desperate to see it again for some weird reason. Okay, so we will play a song. This is one of a request. This is by The Queen. Not by The Queen, by Queen.
Yeah.
And it's called The Hero by from the film Question.
We'll be right back. will sit. The quizmaster will decide.
Right, I've got a best cool.
I'm going to get in the zone now. I'm going to do my pre-match tactics.
Subconsciously.
Deep breathing exercises. Subconsciously. Just try and fine-tune my brain to remember every stat I know. Mm. Let's just hope for a good question this week, because I'm not seeing Priest lightly.
Hello.
Hello, Quizmaster. How are you doing?
Good afternoon.
Good, good.
Glad you're back inside.
Yeah.
Yes.
Not fanning around on the tube. Okay. Yeah. Right. Fire away then, mate, please.
Not my mate.
The Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End is known for having the biggest budget of all time.
Really?
What I would like to know is what was the budget in dollars?
In dollars.
Caribbean at World's End. Okay. Right, we've got 30 seconds.
Mine ends in a zero. Mine ends in a zero.
Good, so I might change it. Oh no, actually, I don't want to change it. Are
you whispering, Quizmaster?
Who are you whispering to?
Matter,
so rude. We've got 9 seconds. Are you pretty happy with this?
Yeah, well,
Bruckheimer's
accountant.
Oh yeah, sure. Okay, right. Well, what have you gone for?
I've gone for 270 million.
Oh, I've gone 230. I think I've gone deliberately low because I always think that I get these too high.
Yeah.
So
you're both very close.
Well, we can't both be very close.
But the answer to this week's question is 300.
Yeah.
No, it's not. Check your
Come
facts.
On.
Rubbish.
Looks like you're going to church.
I demand a recount.
You're going to futuristic church to see Paul Bettany as a priest.
Effing Bolax.
That's so good.
No, mate.
Such good news. I've also got a text, as you heard.
Yeah.
Which means the event I'm supposed to be going tonight is off, which means I can go back, get some sleep. Sure, I'm very tired.
Good stuff.
That was two things.
Double whammy.
Double bam bam.
Okay, you still got robbed at the weekend, though.
Yes. Yeah,
so
yeah,
I
yeah.
win. bye, Quizmaster. Thanks
Very good.
For that.
Still bye,
bye.
Bye.
Yeah. Well, 3D as well.
Is it, Priest?
Yeah. nice retro footed 3D.
Karen Gillan.
Well, thank you for listening to the last ever episode of
It's been a good run.
I'm off to go and put my head in a toaster.
Yeah, and no tweeting, please. Tweeting back.
No tweeting in the cinema.
No tweeting in the cinema. No, you watch that film and you jot.
What?
You make some damn notes about that.
All right, bloody.
Paul Bettany's performance.
Okay, well, thanks very much for listening. We come to the end of the show now. Next week we will have reviews of Priest. We will also have Attack the Block.
Oh, can we? Oh, finally.
We
secret
will also
cinema.
Have our Secret Cinema. We did some roving reporting at Secret Cinema a couple of weeks ago, so we'll have that for you.
And it'll be slightly later time next week.
It
Our
will, yeah, it probably won't
changed.
Be up until around sort of 9 p.m. on Wednesday evening.
Yeah.
So you early birds will have to wait a couple of hours. Sorry about that.
Not catching any worms.
Good stuff. All right, brilliant. Well, we'll just give you the chance to listen to... Can you turn that bloody thing off?
Yeah, sorry.
So unprofessional.
Yeah.
We'll just give you another chance to listen to this week's accent competition.
Do you intend to leave us standing on the doorstep all day with French?
Look, that gun and caught a sniffle.
Well, that's cheered me up no end,
yeah,
I have to say. All right, brilliant. So that should be a really exciting show next week, so we hope you'll all tune in, download, whatever
show,
you like doing, you techie people. But for now, thanks very much for listening, as always. We'll leave you with a song from High Fidelity by The Kinks.
Yeah.
What's it called?
Well, it's called, and it certainly relates to me, Everybody is Going to Be Happy.
I'm not.
Except for Jack.
See you later. Piss off.
I wanna see, and everybody's gonna be happy. Touch me, you'll be my love. Everybody's gonna be happy. Which means you and me, my love. And I know that when I see you walking down the street, well, it makes me happy to see you walking. It makes my life complete. Cause I love, come on, baby, let me tell ya all the things I wanna say. Come on, baby, let me tell ya all the things I wanna say. Everybody's gonna be happy. Which means you and me, my love. Everybody's gonna be happy. Which means you and me, my love. And I know, and I know that you and me, and I know that you and me be happy, happy as we can be. Cause I'm love, I'm love. Come on, baby, let me tell ya all the things I wanna say. Come on, baby, let me tell ya all the things I wanna see. Everybody's gonna be happy, which means you and me, my love. Everybody's gonna be happy, which means you and me, my love. Everybody's gonna be happy, which means you and me,